new call to worship, a new hymn of praise here. In addition to prayer, you can go to prayer, the Lord's Prayer with you. And I'll come back up, a new statement of faith. And we'll do a couple songs, some special music, we'll do children's time. As Andrew does that, we'll get the children up here. And then we'll do the offering, and I'll introduce you right here. Yeah, usually he goes to about 11:25, 11:30, and by the time we get up here, it's usually, it may go faster, it'll be about 10 a.m. That's just here, whatever. We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise from Psalms 100. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'd like to start off with first-time visitors. Looks like all familiar faces.
There's some.
Okay. Welcome. Anyone else? I think John has handed out the registration books. If you would, please put the date in there if the date's not in, and also the time, 10:15, so we can keep up with attendance at the different services. Do we have any prayer or praise request?
I'm
will definitely keep them in our prayers. Anyone else? How about announcements? Anybody have any special announcements? Susan? What time are you leaving next Sunday? What time are you leaving next Sunday for the lake? It's St. Andrews.
St. Andrews. Okay. Yeah, I did see that.
Okay. Any other announcements or prayer requests? This. David. Do. Let's remember all the requests that we've just had and others that we may have in our hearts and pause for a moment of silent prayer as we begin our worship of God. Amen. call to worship this morning is printed in your bulletin, if you'd like to follow along. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race set before us.
Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Let us worship God.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 97, All Hail the Power.
This morning to offer this worship to your glory. We ask that you be with us today by sending the power of your Spirit into this congregation so that we will know that you are the only God. You, through your mercy, sent your Son Jesus Christ to us to show us the way, the truth, and the life. And that as we offer this service in your name, we remember that it is through our eyes and ears and hands and feet that the only way that Jesus' name is going to be known in our communities and in our life. We ask that you continue to be with us and guide us as we offer this service to you. And as we lift our voices with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven and offer our praises for all you have done for us. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let us say together the prayer our Savior Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated.
We express our faith in God by stating the faith, the Apostles' Creed. It's printed in your hymnal 716. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence He shall come judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world
now, please, to hymn 430. I Must Tell Jesus. Today is hymn 454. 454. Would you play through that one time for us, please, Matt?
maybe not the words. Here we go.
Glorious is thy name, O Lord.
The Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 13, says something like this. This may not be the version you're familiar with. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Every breath, before I found my way, you knew my every step. Before I knew everything that I need, you gave it all to me. No greater love than this, that you lay your life down for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime wondering why. I know that there can be no greater love than this. I never understood how merciful love could be until I found this faith that could light every part of me. And I will give everything that I am, for I have been saved. Yes, I have been saved. No greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart. I know there can be no greater love. No greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart.
And I know there can be no greater love for someone such as me. No greater love. And this,
it is children's time. Will children please come down front? Like we're short on children today.
that you consider the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is a gift in heaven. That's the one gift in heaven. That's who we want to be. So, as followers of Jesus, we know that when we mess up, which we will do, we're just human.
We express our thanks to God. Our offertory sense today is from Hebrews 13:16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For such sacrifices, God is pleased. And ushers, please come forward.
Thank you.
hear the Word of God today. Yeah. The presenter is Reverend Jim Tubbs. I'd like everyone to make him welcome.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and thank you, and thank Larry for inviting me. You just don't know how fortunate you are, maybe you do, to have Larry with you. He's certainly done a fantastic job in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. It's also interesting that I was raised in a Cumberland Presbyterian Church. In my first memories of the First Presbyterian Church, Cumberland Presbyterian Church, in Jehovah. And then when we moved, I went to Westminster Presbyterian Church, which was a southern branch of that one, because it's closer to the house. And then, I spent about 6 years, going to a private school that was run by Presbyterians. And in fact, every Friday, Sunday morning, we would all gather together and do Bible study and Bible verses. You know, if you know Bible verses, you can move up. If you don't know, you move back. And I always thought it was unfair because about a third of our students were Jewish. And so they only had to know the verses out of the Old Testament. The rest of us had to know them out of both. You know, that's not fair. But on the other hand, I think it also taught me that we have our Jewish heritage. Jesus was born Jew, lived a Jew, and died as a Jew. And because he was a Jew, and God's son, he was the final full prophet and knew the Bible forward and backwards, at least the Old Testament. I think it's important for us to remember this because the heritage that we have is not just the New Testament. It's both Testaments. Because just as God brought the Jews out of Egypt, he brings us out of that bondage across that Red Sea into the new land and the new promise as we cross our own Jordan River. But unfortunately, in our culture today, it seems we spend very little time praising God for that. So this morning, I'm going to do something that we don't do in Cumberland Presbyterian churches. And I will tell you, we did it at the early service, and God is still in His holy temple. And the roof won't fall. I want you to understand. You right, Elizabeth? Elizabeth from my former congregation. And so I'm going to stand and ask you. I'm accustomed to preaching for 5 minutes. In my seminary at the University of the South, which I'm not for sure I'm so proud of going to, and so on, they told us to make all of our sermons 5 minutes. Now, of course, we can all know that we can tell everything about God's marvelous work in 5 minutes, right? Well, since you're accustomed to longer sermons, I'll try to preach for a little bit longer than 5 minutes, but I don't want you to go to sleep and get bored. So I want you to stand up. Everybody stand up. It's okay. God's sending me over here. I want you to raise your hand. Because that's how Jesus worshiped. In the Middle East, you raise your hand and praise God. Now, guess what? Isn't that wonderful that you can raise your hand in God's church and praise God? Because what are we doing in church?
Praising
God. If we're not coming to praise God, we're probably coming for the wrong part. Now, y'all sit down. I'm going to stand up and hold because to worship God and to praise God and to recall what God has done for us in the past week, the past month, the past year, and throughout our lives. And if we believe what Jesus Christ said, will continue to do for us. Right? How many believe Jesus Christ told us God's perfect will. Raise your hands. Okay. I just proved that the roof wouldn't fall down. Right? So we're called to give testimony that Jesus Christ brought us full, perfect lives if we will do what He called on us to do. Oh, well, Jim, wait a minute. We don't like that if part. Do. I will be your God, he said, early on in Exodus. And you will be my people. I'm going to read a small passage that is from Jeremiah. It's not on your sheet. I gave that to you because I am going to talk to you about this in a minute. And I understand there may not be enough Bibles for everybody to look it up. But I won't worry about that. It's a different translation. This is from Jeremiah. Now remember, Jeremiah, as was saying with Micah, Hosea, Isaiah, they were God's spokespersons. And we wouldn't like them because they were the common people. They weren't the rulers just as the Jews weren't the rulers of the universe in their universe. This is Jesus came from the smallest tribe. But here's what Jeremiah said. God speaking through Jeremiah. So I want you to understand that this is God speaking through Jeremiah. We make a mistake when we say a reading from the book of Jeremiah. It's a reading from the book of the prophecy of Jeremiah. It says, I gave the people, this is God speaking, not me. So don't get a cross out here, you know, hang me on it when I leave. I had a friend, one of my parishioners in my former parish, who told me that on my tombstone he was going to have engraved, God said it, I did. You know, that's how this keeps us out of, kind of keeps us out of trouble sometimes. Not all of them. A lot of people want to hear what God said. Do. Well, yeah, we want to hear. We just don't want to do what God says. But this is what God says. Obey me. It's in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah. It says, obey me, and then I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. I will be your God, you will be my people, if you obey me and walk in my way. Well, that presents a problem for us, doesn't it? We all try to walk in God's way. No. We believe what Jesus Christ said, don't we? And we want to walk in God's way. I know that we don't always do that. And I also know that God, through His Son Jesus Christ, promised us that when we fail to do that, He would accept us back time after time after time after time. But our lives are so much better if we obey God and truly become His people, aren't they? I will be your God, and you will be my people, if you obey me. And time after time after time, beginning with the crossing of the Red Sea, up until today, into the 21st century, what do we do? What do we do as a country? Do you think we're obeying God? Does anyone really believe we're obeying God? Of course not. In my former parish, we had people from the Sudan. In case you don't know, there's a part of the Sudan that's not only starving to death, we'll be lucky if they live much longer. And here we are, in the absolute wealthiest country, most affluent country, if the world has ever known, no king, queen, ruler, 100 years ago, had anywhere close to what we have. So God has blessed us mightily. To say, Jim, you just don't understand. I need this and this and this and this and this. Does God bless you? How many can truthfully tell me today that you really need more? I'm not truthful. This is God's house. This is God's house. How much is enough? My undergraduate degree is in psychology for whatever that's worth. And you know, psychologists are a little bit crazy at times. So they decided to go through and see, by testing people and asking people, how much would be enough. Okay. Now, even testing, they went to the person on the street. Some of them were street people. Okay. Living in cardboard boxes. And they continue to go up the ladder of the social economic group. Until they reach people who were at the level of their need. How much do you think the people said they need? By and large, everyone, from ministers to Bill Gates type of people, to the street people living in cardboard boxes, said, I need 10% more. Very few people said, I need to be a multimillionaire, I need to leave, win the lottery. They just said, I need about 10% more would make me happy. And what does God do? Does anyone know what God tells us? Oh, you know. We don't like to talk about it, do we? Anyone would like to venture a guess what God says? You know. Sure. Say, Jim, you're gone from preaching to meddling.
You're not supposed to say that. I'll be here next time.
It's up in the 11th for 3 weeks. And after the first week, I walked out and there was a big basket. One of the big baskets full of tomatoes. I sure was glad to see they weren't there the next week. God says, I want you to level 10% less. I want your time. I want to live 10% less, and I want that time to go do my work. My work. The Muslims, as you like to tell you, not only have people from the Sudan, in fact, the region that's been persecuted now, the mother's still there. We have people from Uganda, Nigeria, Zaire. And you know, it's fascinating. If an American goes to those countries, and many of them are Anglican or Presbyterian, some Methodist and Baptist,
Do you know these people will walk 30 miles to hear the preaching? Guess who won't go? Much over 30 feet in the United States. We literally have people that won't go much more than that. And guess what? They're hungry for God's Word. They're hungry for it. Because two of our parishioners from Uganda left their family and went, as they say, to the bush. What Charles, his wife, is still there, whose village is being plundered now in northern Uganda. He finally got his two daughters out. What Charles told me, said the only thing I took with me was my Bible. And the only thing that kept me going was God's Word. Are our children going to know God through Jesus Christ? And who's going to teach them? I can't teach about God. You have to go to seminary to know how to do that. I don't know about the recovering Presbyterian Church, but I haven't seen anyone go to seminary out of the Episcopal Church, including myself, that's got God's complete, total understanding. In fact, in the Episcopal Church, the more educated we got, the more people we lost. Still on land. Retired doesn't have to deal with it. I will be your God. You will be my people if you will walk in my ways. How are you going to know God's way? There's only one way that I know. Only one way. It's not just coming here to church and having a Bible in your hand on Sunday morning. There's only one way. But it's spending time with God during the week, listening and hearing and waiting for God to speak to you. For God doesn't speak today, or God forbid He speaks to the ministry. God speaks to everyone. And if you go through and look at the prophets, who did God choose? Sycamore tree dresser. The least of time. And what did they do? They went and challenged people. Rulers. And said, you're doing wrong. But if we don't know what's right, and we don't know what's wrong, how are we going to challenge them? Well, guess what? It's in the Bible. Let me ask you something. I know you never. How many people have enough time today to get things done? We don't do this. Every convenience that we've invented, we've had more invention in the last 50 years or so than in the history of humanity. More. Labor-saving conveniences. And guess what? We don't have enough time to be with God. And God blessed us pretty well. And then you have a cell phone. I have one right here. Most of our kids, by the time they get high school, at least, are going to have cell phones, don't they? Did you know that most children do not know how to dial a telephone?
Most children in this country know nothing much about God.
Please come to them. Matthew 28 goes something like this to Jesus. Say, if you believe the Bible, if you believe what Jesus said. And I'm assuming that you do because you're here. Because I tell people, churches generally do not make good water for the line drug. They have a purpose, a different purpose from what churches have. We don't really make good social organizations. Social workers do a much better job of dealing with people's day-to-day problems than churches do, because that's not our fault. We're not a good welfare agency. We really don't do that in some places. But what we do, if we do it well, is we do God. And if we forget that we're called to do God's business, then we should be out of business. What is our business? Well, Jesus was very clear about it. Says, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Does everyone remember that verse? Ever heard it before? Surely you have, Matthew 28, 18. And that's where we usually stop. Because we baptize them, that's okay. Because that's what Jesus commanded us. No. That's not what Jesus commanded us. He commanded us to go therefore into the world, baptizing the people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have taught you. You remember that? If you don't, you look it up. It's in the NIV. It's in all of them, in fact, no matter which version you use, in various and sundry ways that translate. But the substance is the same. Now, he didn't say that I'm supposed to do this. He said, all of us are charged to do this. Now, I don't know how much time you spend each day with God. I don't know how much time you spend reading the Bible so that you can prepare yourself. Teach them everything that Jesus taught. I don't know. But my guess is you spend a lot more time watching the news. I'm going to ask you this question very seriously. How many have watched the news and been able to do anything about it? I mean, you watch the national news, you see what's going on in Iraq, you either agree with it or you don't agree with it. But you watch it. But have you been able to affect it? No. But guess what you can affect? You can affect your son or daughter, husband or wife, niece or nephew, your neighbor next door, by giving them the way to lead a new life and a full life that the culture cannot and will not give them. It's impossible for them to do it. And as we have grown up, we find that, in fact, the culture has moved further and further away. Let's, for instance, in the U.S. News and World Report from last week, there was a quote by George Will that used some of George Barna's statistics. We're right now on the verge, for the first time in the history
of this country of not being a Protestant country. You know that? In the last 10 years, the number of Protestants have gone from 63% to 52%. Now, what does that say? Someone in our culture is not listening to Jesus' words. Now, I was fortunate with my mother, who was, as I was saying, the Bells of North Georgia, West Georgia, Walker County, that she was a foot washing Baptist. And I was accused of being a Episcopal, what was it called? Pentecostal. Episcopal. Pentecostal. Maybe stupid. But she said, you know, we're all trying to get to the same place. And I had three uncles that were Baptist preachers, except one of them wasn't really a Baptist. He was a Baptist when they needed him, a Methodist when they needed him, and a Presbyterian when they needed him. To go back in the hills up there, they didn't have much choice. And the truth is, it makes no difference whether the way we worship is very formal, as in the Episcopal Church, or not formal. The truth is, what we're about is worshiping God and praising God, and we come together, and whether we hold the hands up, whether we're both slain by the Spirit for those that are Pentecostal or charismatic, or not. Because each one of us here has a spiritual gift if we believe what Jesus Christ said. When he said, I will not leave you alone. And so each of us has a talent, a gift of God to be used for God's purposes. If you look at that second reading from Hebrews today, it's in your insert. And then before I get to meddling too much and you throw tomatoes, maybe someone ran out to get some tomatoes, I'm going to quit. Is that fair? It says, because of their faith, the people walked through the Red Sea on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. God's people had faith when they walked around the city of Jericho for 7 days and blew their horn. Actually, it was a shofar. And those of you who remember Jane Wilder, I think she called me so far down here. Well, Wayne is still alive, a hip woman. And if you don't think it won't raise your hackle, I mean, raise the hair on the back of your head, Elizabeth can tell you, she's been there when we've blown the shofar. He had a group of people going around the wall, going so far as they probably would fall after 7 days. And God had had a prostitute, Rahab, but she had welcomed the spies that came in to test and see if they could overrun this Canaanite town. And you go through with Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. They all had faith. The question is one to you. Do you have a faith that Jesus Christ will be with you as you teach your children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews, as you talk to your neighbor, to talk about God? To bring about a transformation in their lives as well as the life of the community. Do you have that kind of faith? If not, take a little while this week. Instead of watching the Olympics or some TV show, God forbid the news that you can't do much about, except to be aware of it. Listen to God as you read His Word. Equip yourself. I put myself. Who knows? He may call you to come up and preach. Also, may call you to get a message on the ladies, but best preachers, I don't know. Time will tell, but you're not going to know until you do it. Let's pray. Almighty God, we ask today that you fill us overflowing with not only the power of your Holy Spirit, but the equipping you gave to each of us. To go therefore and make disciples. And give us the knowledge that we need to teach others everything you have taught us. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Let's all stand, turn in our hymns to hymn 453.
Test. 1, 2, test.